Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in the Standard, 4-star review in the Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who has a fantastic system for finding his way on and off stage. It's Richard Herring. Thank you very much. We have begun. Hello. Yo, yo. Welcome to the show. We're approaching the end of series 13 of Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. I was talking... What? Very, very poor behaviour. It's jumped the shark, someone there. Not a very cool kid. You have to wait until I've said it. I've got to the stage where I don't even know which one of these I've done before. By series 14, there's going to be a brand new opening to the show. I was talking to John from the original Tomorrow People. Do you remember him? You remember him, Dave? God, no one remembers him. He was also apparently in Beatles About. He was one of the actors in Beatles About, which I would have thought, you know, who wouldn't recognise John from the Tomorrow People? As it turns out, all of you. he calls it Rahel Estepa anyway, so I know that's going to catch. Talking of the Tomorrow People, I was, last week, I woke up at about 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning regardless of my children waking up, partly due to my alcoholism. Good. Laugh and then, oh no, that's not funny. Good. It's all right, you're allowed to laugh. I was lying in bed and my throat made like a literal beeping sound like a computer. It wasn't that beep, 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 but like a proper. From my throat, it went beep, beep, and I'm wondering if I am actually a robot. And how would you know if you were? Why did my throat make that sound? That's not possible, is it, David? Turn yourself on and off again. Could be. That might be why I'm so obsessed with having sex with a robot, because I am a robot. That could be. But how would you know? It's like in Westworld, they don't know they're robots, do they? Someone might be, the woman I think is my wife, might be paying money to come on vacation to get to sleep with me for 2 weeks. And I, you know, and then I'm rebooted and I think it's her. Laughing as if that's... Look at the quality of the man you're hanging around with, and then laugh at a woman wanting to pay to have sex with the robot version. If she is doing that, she's not making the most of the service at the moment. It would be an odd time to choose to come and be my partner when we have two young children. So I thought this is a holiday. Now get up and look after the baby. But, you know, maybe in the future where I am actually in, no one has babies anymore, maybe. So that might be that. So that's why, isn't it? Because it's the Wild West to them now. If you think about that. And I've also written jam anger down here, and no idea what that means. So, jam anger. Oh, I know what it is. I had a dream. I'm just going to tell you about things that happened to me in this. You might think the beeping thing was a dream as well, but it wasn't. It was real. I had a dream this week where I was playing Just a Minute, Jam, and Tom Baker was playing, and I was coming to the end of my first ever whole minute of speaking, and I was really excited, and Tom Baker went like this. He was counting it down. He waited till 59 and a half seconds, went beep like that, and buzzed in. And I had a fight with Tom Baker. And I was, even in my dreams, I can't win quiz shows. That's how bad it is. And even in my dreams, I'm ridiculously petty. And I was arguing with Nicholas Parsons about the fact that Bell had gone first. And then I went to the producer's booth in the dream to make them replay the tape. And as I was doing that, the show was carrying on without me. So. That's how tragic my life is. All that's happened to me is I've been on tour. I've had a lovely time in Reading and some other places. I can't remember where I was. It's all the same. So when you're a robot, it's all the same day to day. So let's get on with this week's podcast. I'm very excited to introduce it. It's the first time I've had three guests at once. Very exciting. Some people think I talk over the one guest. Imagine what it's going to be like for those people today. They're going to die. My three guests are probably best known as... one is the narrator of Crazy Beaches. One is the best known as being the son of Rocky Flintstone. One is best known as being a 19th century shoe merchant who built James Cooper House. My Wikipedia research may not have been that great. He might not be there. That might not be the same one. We'll find out when he comes on. Will you please welcome the team? Behind my dad wrote a porno. Come in. And man, sit in whatever order. We didn't talk about order there, but that's good. That's good. There we go. Lovely.
Hello.
Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
My goodness.
Hello.
This is an honour.
Is it on?
I think. Hello?
Do you have a microphone set up like this on my dad?
We have Britney mics, which James loves. You're the ones that go like...
Right, oh, do you?
Yeah.
You've got to record the... Oh.
Hello?
Oh. It's probably working. Is it working, Dave?
Yeah, it's all fun.
Great.
Sounds great. Yeah.
Who knows?
We don't care about sound here, because people complain about the sound of this podcast, but they're audio files and I won't have them. Oh. I won't have that in my...
Very nice.
They're forbidden from being... They're forbidden. welcome. My goodness. So let's talk first of all about you're actually probably best known for the work you did at the Leeds University Television Department, and that is what I want to talk to you about.
Always.
Where you all
it was
met.
You watching? We did it.
What did you do at the Leeds University TV Department?
Oh, what
to call
didn't
it
we
a
do?
Department, I think, is to overstate it.
It was literally a cupboard under the stairs, opposite the pub, which is how we all found it. I don't think we would ever have found it otherwise. It wasn't our best work, was it?
It was the student TV station at university, no one was watching it because
I think there were quite a few LSTV fans in the house. Actually, there, that was quite a strong reaction when you mentioned that.
It's kind of where we learned to like film and edit and things like that, but we were doing like entertainment shows about the week's news, and then we got interviews with like Lee Francis from Bo Selecta
from a great distance.
We were very excited. Yeah. One question on a red carpet. It was really weird, and Jamie kind of filmed and edited stuff.
Yeah, really bad music videos that I thought was really arty and cool, which were awful.
But it was just what we... Because none of us studied it. We did it in our spare time, and it was just what we... It's how we like bonded and what we'd spent a lot of our spare time doing. And it was kind of geeky in a great way, in the way that I think our podcast is pretty geeky.
And we still do it. I mean, who are we kidding? We still make shit stuff together all the time. Every weekend I'm there with my 5D. Come on, guys, let's make something.
And the first job that we got, we all started as interns together at a TV company. And they were like, oh, we just want you to make some like kind of short videos. It was like early social media. Bebo? Any Bebo?
Yeah, oh, Bebo,
you know. And so we were like, yeah, we can do that. We can make shit videos, sure. Yeah. Like that's the only thing we can do. Sure we can.
The first project we ever did together was our first job in London. It was called A Message from Earth. for Bebo. And we were sending a binary message. Yes. Stop me when I'm wrong.
Okay, it's digital, yeah.
Digital message. Yeah. Into space to the nearest planet that might have life on it, which was called Gliese 581c.
It's calm down, everyone. We get it. You love it.
We travelled to the Ukraine on like an official, like British
delegation
mission to send these things in Evpatoria. Through their space command center.
Why didn't we make a podcast about this?
I know.
Or what? Filmed any of it.
What like did you send into space? Because, you know, they could create an intergalactic war. You have to think of that.
It hasn't arrived yet, so it still could. Yeah. Okay.
It was the summer of 2008, so it was all George Sampson and Cheryl Cole. Mm. So they will think that they are, like, the deities of Earth.
Yeah.
if we do start World War
There was a four. Disproportionate amount of images of George Sampson.
Yes, worrying. Because he just won BGT. You know, that routine with him dancing in the rain.
Yeah, don't remember.
Huge
yeah.
at the time.
People are going to come down, they come to me, go, where's George Sampson? I don't know who you're talking about.
A lot of dick pics. People tried to get in there as well, but yeah. we had to filter
the brief
out
was pics. Like a snapshot of Earth today. Yeah. A snapshot of that. And they took that quite literally and just took a snapshot of their dick.
Yeah, but that is more representative
that is
than
quite
George
accurate,
Sampson.
Yeah,
it was so. Their whole Earth at the time. Really.
And we had to go and meet celebrities and film them and ask them what they would send into space.
Okay.
Our favourite one is we went to Sir Patrick...
The late, great Sir Moore. Patrick Moore's house. Yeah.
We went to Patrick Moore's house to ask him what he'd put into space. He came down on his stairlift, didn't
he? Yes, he did, yeah.
And his maid came to the door and she said, would you like Patrick in his white shirt or his Hawaiian shirt? And we were like,
we just looked
Hawaiian.
At each other. We were like, Hawaiian.
So he came down in this huge Hawaiian shirt.
It wasn't a shirt. It was like a flowing,
a
beautiful blouse, yeah.
It was. That must have been some Stanis stairlifter. He was a big man.
He was a big guy. He
yeah,
was huge.
I mean, in every direction.
As you can imagine, if you're a 14-year-old on Bebo and you're a big fan of George Sampson, you're also a huge fan of Sir Patrick Moore. So, yeah, on the Venn diagram, that's who's in the middle. Brilliant.
So that's kind of where we learned what to do, you know, as far as making
or
content.
Or not to do, more yes. accurately. Yeah.
And it was our first kind of working together and learning how to work together.
Yeah, and so my dad wrote a porno came about when your dad told you that he'd written an erotic novel.
No, he didn't novel. Tell me. He said that he was writing a novel.
Right.
In the garden shed when he was retired, which I was fully supportive of, actually. Yeah. So I thought, what a great way to keep him out of my mum's hair.
And he'd never written anything. He'd ever written before?
He was a builder, so yeah. he'd written, you know... numbers on like plywood in a pencil,
yeah.
But that was about it. But he didn't tell me what he was writing, so I just assumed it would be like a Bond ripoff or like a swashbuckling pirate kind of thing. And then he was like, "It's ready," because he's from Northern Ireland, and I was like, "Oh, great." He was like, "So I'm gonna email your first three chapters and just see what you think." And I was like, "Okay, cool, great, can't wait." So then opened it, and literally the first sentences, Belinda blinked, the job interviewer had just asked her to remove her jacket and silk blouse. And in that moment, my life changed forever. Because I knew that my dad had been writing pornography in the garden shed away from my mother. And he hadn't even told her. And so I was like, why is my dad sending me, his only son, his pornography? This is so weird.
You're the heir to the throne. Weird.
Well, clearly. And then I just immediately sent it to those two.
Yeah,
we went to the pub.
We went to the pub, didn't we? And then Jamie read it. He was like, guys, I've got something to tell you. We're like, oh my God, he's gay.
If only.
Yeah, I wish.
Great.
Hey, James. Sorry.
I've never felt more like a third wheel.
And he was like, my dad's written this erotic novel. And we were like, you have to read it immediately.
Because it isn't even that he wrote an erotic novel or that it was a shit erotic novel or that, you know, it was bad at sex. He can't spell. Like, the grammar's wrong. Like, it's on every level, it's awful. And then it was actually... I have Alice to blame for everything, actually.
Well, like Jamie says, he brought it to this... dinner, and we took so long to read it. He had three chapters, and it's a short book. It's about 60 pages long. It's not. It's like, we call it a sexy pamphlet. It's not a book. But it took us so long because James and I just kept interrupting, and Jamie was getting a bit agitated. He was like, if you want me to get to the end, you're going to have to stop interrupting. We were like, but that's no fun. So let's go in again. And I, because I'm selfish and self-aggrandizing, was like, can I have it and do a one-woman show? And Jamie was like, yeah, sure. Like, I don't want it. It's a piece of shit.
Take it
off our hands. And then we were like, no, we should, like, because we'd done all these projects together and done all these videos and just fun stuff for us, we were like, oh, let's maybe, it felt like it belonged in audio. It felt like it should be a podcast. And exciting stuff was happening in podcasting. And we were like, actually, this is really good. We should do this. So we gave it a go.
Yeah.
We convinced Jamie.
So they made me read my dad's pornography to the world. Chapter by chapter.
Well, I mean, what's remarkable about it is it's difficult, isn't it, to do a parody of something. Like, if someone was trying to parody an erotic novel, you would never get any of the stuff that's in this. It's someone trying their best to create an erotic novel, and in doing so, creating comedy that you could never... I mean, like, that she works for... Steals pots and pans.
Yeah.
I mean, just that you've sat down to write a book and the way she's going to work. She's going to work, she's going to work for someone that makes pots and pans, yeah. But also that's going to be what they would call the.
I think what you're forgetting there, Richard, is that it's actually half erotic novel and half business manual.
That's true.
He actually intended for you to learn a lot about entrepreneurship, and I feel like a lot of people have bought it for that very reason.
Yeah. We feel like there's been a lot of startups happening since the podcast started.
But I think that's the interesting thing about it, that it's real, and that it's obviously, it's deeply weird that it's your dad. you've done three series and there's a fourth series on the way.
Yes.
And he's written six books, has he, so far? Or?
Oh God, no, eight.
Yeah,
ten.
Right.
Pick a number. I don't know how many now.
And so it's sort of endless. It's going to go on as long as he keeps writing.
Well, he'll keep on going until his last breath. Whether we'll be there to join him on that journey, I'm not quite sure yet.
That'd be quite a good. The podcast after his final chapter, when he's a posthumous chapter, be both funny and, you know, it's tragic as well. It'll be you crying.
Mainly because of the language in the book.
But maybe like the greats, he'll be more appreciated, like not in his lifetime.
That's it.
Maybe now we're laughing, and then after we'll be like, oh my God. In hundreds of years' time, people will be like, look. It'll be like Bebo. It'll be like the pics of George Sampson. Gleaser 581C will love this.
He says that though. He's always like, do you know what? You've all had your fun and games, but the thing is that when you're older, you'll get it. I'm like, I don't think we will, Dad. Like, we're in our 30s. What more is there to get? Although saying that, he's in his 60s and he clearly doesn't get anything, so who knows?
Well, yeah, we'll get to that. But it's sort of interesting. I mean, I think it probably hits this exact... I mean, it's the combination of podcasting being a thing, so that is the perfect vehicle for it, but also that there is this self-publishing... You know, 20 years ago, there was no one... I mean, someone might have written a book, I suppose, but it would just be hidden away somewhere in an attic.
Yes.
But, like, you can publish... My mother-in-law's brother-in-law, this might be my podcast, has been staying. He's been staying at my mother-in-law's house for a month, and he's written a sci-fi and fantasy 80,000 words.
Whoa.
But he's never written anything before. I haven't seen any of it. It might be amazing.
It might be. Yeah.
But I thought I might do a podcast of my mother-in-law's brother-in-law's wrote a sci-fi fantasy crossover. In a month. I mean, I've been trying to write a sitcom. Month. I've been trying to write a sitcom and I've written 12 words in the last month. I sort of, as a professional writer...
I really want to know what the 12 words are now.
They're not good. they're probably just the characters' names, which I know already. But like, as a professional writer, it's sort of insulting that people think, oh, I'll just have a crack at this.
Well,
and then some of them are successful.
You say that.
Yeah.
However, we had Michael Sheen, the actor... come on the show, and he legitimately, like, and he meant this, compared my dad to Shakespeare, because apparently Hamlet was written in this like feverish rush of something that's inspired Will to like put quill to paper.
Billy
and he's like, Rocky, Shakespeare, they're just the same. Obviously we found fault in that particular analysis, but you know, maybe it's good to get it just out in one go.
Well, that's the amazing thing about being a new writer and being enthused. He's very enthusiastic, and I've not read any of this, so it could be, you know, he could go away and become the new Game of Thrones, it could be him. So, but if it is, he recommends in the book that people come and see my stand-up because he came to see my show. I think that's in the acknowledgements. I don't think that's part of the...
It's the sci-fi element, clearly.
He's a very sweet man. But yeah, that's that enthusiasm just going for it. So it feels like having, you know, what I've heard of your father's work, that it's not very planned.
No.
It feels like, that seems, you know, fair. I'm going to get to, and then I'm going to decide what this character's called.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We think sometimes he's called in for tea. Yeah. So he's writing something, you think he's kind of building up to something, and then Jamie's mum's like, Rocky's ready, and he's like, and she died. Okay, like he just kind of has to wrap it up really quickly.
And there's no quality control. Like he finishes a sentence and then hits print. There's no proofreading. Print and out. Done. But, you know, there's something to be said for the fact that he did this in the first place. Yep. He was a retired man. He had a dream, a weird dream, but a dream nonetheless. A nightmare for many people.
Clearly bored, I think.
I mean, the podcast is very affectionate, and, you know, and it skirts the line of taking... I mean, obviously you're taking the piss, but there's obviously something enjoyable. And that's why, you know, I think it could easily get tired very quickly as a concept, but it's really not. It could.
We'll put that on the poster.
Richard Herring. It could get tired very
quickly. It could, but it doesn't. Doesn't entirely.
There's not enough room on the poster for that.
No, the jury's out.
Because, I mean, it's about your three personalities as well and the three of you chatting and getting on.
Yeah.
But
it really is, because we always say, don't we, it isn't a show about porn or about, you know, my dad's porn. I mean, it's more of just a show about friendship and the fact that these two guys were willing to go on this journey with me and help me through this really... what could have otherwise been quite a traumatic experience in my life. And they're just the two funniest people that I ever met. So I was like, right, if
we're doing
this...
But for anyone who hasn't heard it, it's also about porn, so do listen to it.
I couldn't have done it with anybody other than these two, for sure. Yeah.
Has any of it ever aroused you?
Wow. No. Not yet. Maybe that's what he's gearing up for.
We quite fancied one of the characters.
Yeah, there's a guy called Peter Rouse who...
No!
No, Marco Arrigues.
Oh, Marco Arrigues, the Brazilian guy.
The Brazilian guy.
Okay. Just to give you a glimpse.
Yes.
So there is a character who gets his penis extended. He has a transplant in the Amazon.
The Amazon Basin.
Sorry, the Amazon Basin.
That's all right, go.
It turns out Marco Arrigues, the character that we think is quite hot, was the operator, did
the
this
surgeon,
surgery.
Yeah.
But she meets him when she's crashed a car in the Cotswolds, I think.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that just gives you a sense of what we're dealing with.
It was a botched job as well, and the member is flaking like pastry. It's just flaking away.
She gets a bit in her teeth.
She gets a little bit stuck in her teeth, and he paid the extra. This is no lie. He paid the extra supplementary charge so that he could come blue.
His semen is blue.
If you're going to have it done, get the bells and whistles, if you'll excuse the pun.
I think they show this as like a colour chart. What do you want your semen
to be? Yeah, a little Pantone chart.
You'd go for taste, though, wouldn't you, rather than colour? I mean, you say, can I have it tasting of chocolate or fruit?
Do you
fruit?
Think?
Yeah.
But then that's...
Would you?
Yeah,
would
I think you would.
Did you say or fruit?
Or fruit, yeah. something to make it palatable.
I'd like guava. Do you do guava? No, okay.
Nice. If you eat a lot of fruit, it affects that. I know quite a lot about them.
Sure.
Male genitals, which for some reason I know a lot about male genitals. And your father doesn't seem to know much about female genitalia, given that you've got three sisters. So he's got four children.
He'd be well versed by now.
I don't know, but it's weird, isn't it? It's nice that Alice is there. It's like sometimes you have to go over to Alice just to check what a vagina is like.
Can you grab a cervix out? No, you can't. Good, cool. Carry on.
Because there's vaginal lids.
There's
I don't know if that's a misprint or...
I lived in hope that it was. He just got the P and the D mixed up. But no, lids do make a reappearance.
I think he thinks the ovaries are kind of in line with the cervix, doesn't he? It's like
everything's linear. Yeah, and just kind of one tower. Also, he described... I think this is a Farrow and Ball shade, but something... Yeah. Didn't he say labial pinkness?
Yeah.
Which is pretty repulsive. Although I do think I might paint my bathroom in labial pinkness. he's very confused. He either thinks it's all in a line or all kind of jumbled up in a bag that kind of moves as you walk. So he kind of knows it's there, but it's like a movable feast. It's just sort of like sloshing about. So like, it's not fixed.
Yeah. It is a mysterious thing, though. So it's difficult. You know, you can understand.
Oh, yeah.
You don't, you know, it's like a Bigfoot or something, isn't it? You only see it
excuse me?
From certain angles. When you see it, it's fleeting. Certainly, if you're having sex with a Bigfoot, it's like that.
Are you describing it as the Sasquatch?
I'm saying it's similar. In a Michael Sheen comparison.
I think you need to see the presentation I do on the female genitalia. You and Rocky, I'm going to sit you both down.
It's difficult. I've been around a lot of vaginas in my time, but I wouldn't like to write about. I wouldn't like to try and draw one.
No, I mean, well, this is it, and we do mock him because.
Well, it's funny you say that. Bring on the easel.
A really weird game of Pictionary, suddenly. Yeah, we give him a bit of a hard time.
Don't applaud it, it's not. Stop, please stop.
But it's been a phenomenally successful podcast. I mean, like, you're touring it, you do live shows.
Yeah, we are.
And there's an element where there's a sort of Rocky Horror Show element where people come dressed as the characters.
Oh, my God, yeah. The cosplay is out of control.
In fact, just around the corner from here, the Prince Charles Theatre, they do. We were all in love with the room. Yes. We loved the room when we first discovered that. In fact, at university when we first met. And there are elements a bit like that, where people interact. You're right, the cosplay is just mad.
Two people came as vaginal lids to a show, didn't they?
Did.
Which was weird. Someone came as a clitoris. Yeah. Some people are dressed as like concepts, so a pub. Yeah. Someone came dressed as a pub, which is a location in the book.
Yeah.
What else?
The trellis, which is somebody at one point is handcuffed to a bit of garden wooden trellis. Somebody came as this massive bit of trellis, which was initially impressive, and then everybody next to them was just like, oh, so they're getting like jabbed in the side with bits of splintery wood. It was like, this is like an hour and a half show. You're going to really regret that.
Her friend was then handcuffed to her as the trellis. I mean, it went all the way down the line, that costume. It was amazing.
Yeah, Blue Peter.
There was a time when when the blue semen thing happened, people would just run to the front of the stage and spray us with blue silly string. Just
Which got old quite quick.
Yeah.
Like, could be worse. Yeah.
That's true.
Could taste like apple. Yeah, you're
right. Oh. So, and being there's a drinking game associated with the.
Well, I have to drink to get through it. I'm finding it a little bit weird not having a drink with me right now. Just even talking about it needs alcohol. Which we were, because we've just come back from the States, and we were a bit concerned whether they would partake in the drinking game or partake in kind of any of the more out there elements. But my God, they were insane.
Yeah.
Like, at Seattle, we had to be like escorted out of the theatre. People were so mad, weren't we?
We were thrown out, is what he's trying to say. They booed us off.
Everyone gets pretty merry, don't they?
Yeah. Involved.
Well, we get people up on stage to recreate elements of the book to see if things can actually happen, which turns out they can't. Spoiler alert.
Doing new chapters when you do the live show, or are you doing famous chapters?
No, we don't. Neither. So what we do is, because my dad was so excited at the start of this whole thing, and he would just write so much crap, as you can tell, because most of them ended up in the books. There was one chapter that even he deemed was too bad to include in any of the books.
Right.
I found that, and I now read it on stage. So it's a chapter that you'll never hear on the podcast. We kind of keep it purely for the live show, and it's all about Belinda takes her subordinates on like a team building away day. And it is just carnage.
There's one thing that team doesn't need is team building.
Exactly. No. And they are not bonded by the end of it, I tell you.
And it's amazing what you can pack into a day, I tell you what. Bloody hell.
But so you're playing America, you're playing the Royal Albert Hall in June.
Yeah.
Which is phenomenally successful it's interesting that podcasts are getting this big. Obviously they're heard all around the world, so you do. You know, I don't think I could play Seattle. I'm going to try it. I'm going to see how I go. Given I can't really play Wolverhampton.
Well, it's funny you say that because we sort of worried in reverse, because I feel like Americans find it a novelty that we're Brits talking about sex, because they obviously think we're really prudish and they think of us as like Harry, Ron and Hermione reading porn. So we're doing a UK tour next. And I feel like that will be interesting because that's home turf there. That's like, okay, we're your voices don't excite us. Just because you've got an accent, we don't think you're related to the royals. So when we do these dates in the UK, I'll be interested to see how the reaction is different, America versus UK. So
yeah, because we did Australia a while ago as well, and they were like, they're filth, as we all know.
Utter filth.
Aussies, I mean, they just didn't give a shit.
They were just kind of having conversations amongst themselves. Honestly, about it. Like
the most
mid-show,
unruly audiences we've ever had to encounter. So yeah, we're quite intrigued to see what home's going to be like, actually. Yeah.
But it's sort of, that's, you know, it's so phenomenal that, like, a, you know, that often TV breaks someone so they can tour to that extent. But for a podcast to break you, that you can tour within, I mean, you've been doing it like 3 or 4 years, something like that, or is it a bit longer than that?
This is our third year.
Yeah, third year. So, you know, that you can break to that extent. I mean, that's an amazing, powerful...
It is. It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. It's almost like as powerful as Bebo, really. So,
I should say Bebo died not long after that project.
We ended
Bebo's
reign.
We terminated Bebo.
It was sold for $1. It's mad. And I think when we first started doing podcasts to now, as I'm sure you've seen... It's completely different, isn't it? It's like been.
Mine is not different. Mine is my podcast is the same.
But the world of podcasting, right?
It's right, Gary. I thought I'd get more for that, but they're not. Don't worry, Richard's right. Each episode is very different, Richard.
They're furious. They're like, yeah, you could innovate a bit more, actually. I mean the kind of the podcast landscape, It's like. We listen to a lot of American ones when we first started making ours, but there seems to be so many good homegrown ones now.
Yeah, it's really
and
exciting.
It feels like quite a nice world to be in where, you know, you've very kindly invited us on here and people seem very up for collaborating on stuff.
Yeah,
and that's really
nice. It's a
nice
community feel to it.
And no, I agree with that. Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's interesting. And coming from the world of comedy, that isn't always the case. But no, I think it is. It's exciting to be able to do whatever you want to do, you know, to have an idea and run with it. And you might have taken this to a production company and they would have gone, anyone like it? But, you know, but, you know, that's it. But it's an idea that you could just go, well, this is a great idea. And then you own the idea and then, you know, and no one's changing it.
Yeah, and you can do whatever you want, and do it at your own pace and say, you know, because I need a good run-up to do another series just because... You know, it is my dad's pornography, so I'm hesitant to jump back into it immediately because everyone's like, where's season 4? I'm like, give me a minute. I have like a whole kind of counselling regime to go through before I can get back into it. So, yeah, and we have all of that control, which is great.
And we've been really lucky. Like, you know, we'll work in TV and radio and stuff, so we've all brought different skills to the table. So I think it's all just fallen into place nicely. This book came into our lives and... it's felt like a natural fit. And we'll only ever do it for as long as we think it's right to do. Like you say, there's 10 books.
Yeah.
We're on 3. But after each one, we're like, Jamie's mainly like, should we stop now? We had our fun. Should we move on?
I think if we're on book 96, we're like, something's gone horribly wrong.
Yeah, exactly. And what are your dad's book sales like as a result of your podcast? Has it gone through the roof, his Amazon sales?
Oh, his e-books?
Yeah.
He sold like 3 or 4, hasn't he?
I think he sold his 7th, actually.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Right.
Middling to poor, I'd say. not in any way kind of embarrassing.
Well, we wrote a book about his book.
You've done your own book of the book.
Yeah, so that did well.
Yeah. Do you pay him some of the money from that?
Of course. Some of the money from all of it. Of course he does. Could you imagine? Dad, just...
Keep working.
Go in that garden shed now. Just keep writing.
Yeah, it's funny how he takes the joke so well. Yeah.
You know, there is a similarity with The Room, and obviously Tommy Wiseau has become, like, properly bona fide. He's successful off the back of The Room and is doing other films and, you know, is presumably making millions of dollars. So I wonder if the
But he took a different route, didn't he? Because when people started... enjoying/mocking The Room, he was like, guys, it was always supposed to be a comedy. Whereas your dad's like, I still don't really get why people are laughing, but cool. It's cool.
But he's like, whatever gets those Benjamins in, I don't care. Because he's the sort of man that it's impossible to offend him in any way. He's just such
a
wind-up.
You tried so hard.
We're really going for it now. He's just great. He's just oblivious to it all. It's great. He's just got, whatever. Joke's on you. Got a new car. Just bought a new car. Like, great, good for you. But he's called Belinda, obviously.
Has he?
Yes.
Personalised number plate?
It's a really it's a really bright turquoise convertible. It's so embarrassing. He like bobs around town and he's so proud. I mean, bless him.
There's a line in the book, her tits hung for you like pomegranates. And he's now he's got wallpaper with pomegranates on throughout the hall of the house. Hall.
But my mum doesn't listen to the show, so didn't know what that meant for a good 6 months. And she was like, what a lovely wall. But you've never taken an interest in the interior design of the house. What a lovely pattern. And then it took me coming home to be like, mum, you do know what he's put in the hall.
There's a bag load of tit down your hallway. Yeah.
That was an uncomfortable Christmas.
But there are some lovely allusions and imagery in the... The nipples like 3-inch rivets that held the hull of the fateful ship, the Titanic. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of weird to choose rivets from a ship that fell apart. If they're going to compare nipples to rivets.
Yeah. And also, when you're trying to be sexy, to allude to one of the most famous disasters and tragedies that we have in our consciousness.
It's just exciting. Oh, I'm not sure.
Yeah, like, I'll just cry while I do it. Yeah.
And you've got, but George, our incompetent sound man, who you met backstage, was impressed that you had lots of celebrity fans, and he was saying, "Where's your celebrity fans?" And I said, "John Ronson came to see the show the other week, so you know, think on." But you've had lots of celebrity fans, and then they've appeared in the podcast, on the Footnote podcast.
Yeah, they kind of. They ask us to be on the show because the first one was Elijah Wood, and he kind of tweeted about the show. And then we said, do you want to come on the show? Thinking that he'd be like, obviously not, it's pornography. And then when he said yes, suddenly our DMs were dripping
all
with
the perks
people.
Came out from
under
the rug.
Don't say dripping.
Like, Daisy Ridley, she was like, I've just wrapped Star Wars, can I come on the show? We're like, sure, great. It's been nice, hasn't it, to kind of have them asked to come on as opposed to us kind of stalking them.
And they just, you know, they just... No agents involved, no PRs or anything like that. They just pop round with a bottle of wine, they stay for a couple of hours, have a drink, we record... And it's really nice. It's really weird. Daisy Ridley came out and was like, nobody knows I'm here. She hadn't told her agent. She hadn't told Disney.
Like, it's like she wants to be murdered. It's like she wants to be murdered by psychos. No one knows I'm here. If you're thinking of kidnapping me, this will be an excellent time to do it. I'm just saying.
This is your window. When's it going to come up again?
I'm amazed Rey was in The Last Jedi, to be honest. Get rid of her. No, that's great. And they just add a really nice kind of flavour to the show because they kind of give an external perspective on all of this kind of crazy. Because we're so in it and we read it all the time that it's nice to have someone else be like, are you okay? Or what the hell? Like, your dad is mental. Because
they love Rocky, don't they? They mainly come on to... God. Ask questions about Rocky.
Yeah.
It's an interrogation about Jamie's dad, really.
Yeah, we gave Nicholas Holt came on the show, and he asked for a signed Rocky mug, which we gave him. His face.
Had to cost.
Oh, my God. And then we went out for drinks afterwards, and every single bar we went to, he decanted his drink into the Rocky mug and would only drink from the Rocky mug. Yeah,
Michael Sheen's met Rocky now, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
They're best friends.
Are they?
No.
But
Dad thinks that they're best friends, which is quite sweet. But yeah, they're all lovely.
Michael Sheen's given up acting, is it partly because of this?
he didn't get the role he wanted.
Yeah.
And is the film a genuine thing, or is the film a thing that you're talking about?
When we were in America, we had meetings in LA about... the thing is with this, it could be so many things. I mean, the obvious thing is making the Belinda Blinked movie.
Yeah.
Because we have our cast. Everyone who's been on the Footnotes has said they will play a role.
They're verbally locked in, so...
We still don't have our Belinda. We're still figuring out who will be Belinda. But yeah, we're talking... Like, you know, obviously... There's interest in a screen version, so we're just figuring out what that would be.
Obviously. I mean, obviously. It just writes itself, doesn't it?
Pornhub are very interested.
They actually are. They asked us to make it into a real porno. Which was a weird conversation.
Yeah, they
have
wanted
with your
to
dad.
Make a scene.
Was it
didn't
Pornhub?
They?
It was one of them, yeah.
I don't know my hubs. I don't know
what Pornhub's very Pornhub is.
That's a good one, isn't it?
That's the legit
Pornhub's
one.
My there's too
it's
much
your homepage.
If you talk to Pornhub again, there's too much
fire.
People having sex with their siblings. I'm not interested in that.
What? I think that's probably because of your cookies.
No, it isn't. It just keeps coming up.
Right.
The front page is all, I fuck my step siblings, but I'm not interested. I make it work, but it's not interesting to me. I have to imagine it's two actors pretending to be siblings.
Right, right.
And then, which it is.
Which I was going to say, hopefully stop pretending, is. Yeah.
Occasionally there are twins, though, and that freaks you out. That's all right, though.
Well, there's a pots and pans version that proves bringing its way to you, so.
We'll get the message to
you. Thank you, if you could. In fact, they're very good.
They try their best, don't they? They do.
It's very same, very same. There's a lot of just people having sex with each other, and it's a bit samey,
isn't it?
So I'd like them to do a bit more. I like the stories.
Do you watch the stories?
Really, I don't really like the sex as much as just people having sex.
That's what I used to say to my mum about Power Rangers. I was like, I'm not watching it for the fighting. I'm watching it for the story, because she didn't want us to watch it. And I was like, if I switch over during the fight scenes, can I still watch it? She was like, I mean, if you insist, but I don't think it's particularly compelling. So I feel like it's the same thing
that
with
is
you.
The same, yeah.
Yeah, there's a good Power Rangers one on there. There so yeah, this.
That green one was the right sore spot, I tell you what.
If you did it as a film, would you make the sex? You'd have to make the sex scenes kind of or like they are on when you're on stage, so that they don't work, wouldn't you?
Well, I wonder if we'd get Rocky to actually write the screenplay. Oh, he have him transfer it from
really.
Book
yeah,
to
would
screen.
It be Disaster Artist? Would it be like looking at? It's hard, isn't it? You wouldn't probably just make a film of Belinda Blink.
Yeah. Why not? We could get Tommy Wiseau to do it.
Oh yeah.
To direct it.
Make the call.
Oh my God.
He's often just next door because he comes to the Prince Charles Theatre all the time. Just with hang around outside there.
A sad looking Greg Sestero next to him sometimes. He's a bit like, oh God. But not now. I mean, he's written that lovely book. But
he's done all right, hasn't he? He's done okay. They've done well. Well, I hope that happens. If there's any paedophile postman turn up in the story, that's my speciality. As an noted. Actor, as an actor, as an acting role.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen you on Silent Witness playing that role.
I'm trying to get into it. So far, it's in none. Well, I was in one sitcom as a postman, but I wrote that. And he wasn't a paedophile. He fancied Julia Swallow. That's just normal. That's what a normal person would do. But I was trying to get to be a postman in every sitcom going.
That's great.
Every sitcom going?
Yeah. But no one's put me in one yet. So I'll go for a porn film parody.
No.
Or a porn film.
If it happens, you're in there.
Okay, great.
So
don't wait by the phone.
So, Alice, you're the one who has a career outside of this. These other two are a real job. These other two are lost.
We do have jobs.
No,
I don't.
No. I could find out about you, you're a 19th century shoe merchant.
That's my job.
People need shoes, don't they?
I see you wearing some.
The people in the 19th century certainly do. You were one of the voices of Big... We worked on Big Brother's TV show, but you're one of the voices of Big Brother.
I was a few times, They call it the voice of God. I mean, I think that's slightly overstating it, but yeah, where you buzz through to the house and go, can you put some pants on, please? Or like... You're in trouble, yeah.
Did you have to talk to them in the diary room, or was it just...
Yeah, a bit of that. I didn't do the... You know when they do the sort of, like, long chats when people need bawling their eyes out and stuff? I didn't do that, because it takes quite a long time, doesn't it, to, like, win them round. So I just more did, like, can you please unblock the sink? Thank you. your mic's run out on your battery's pack. Yeah.
So you
I just did the admin, basically. Yeah. Someone's left the door open. They're like, oh, it's that really saddo one again. He's like, you're letting all the heat out. Close the window. Yeah.
Do you have to say this is Big Brother before you say all of these? This is Big Brother speaking. Unblock the toilet.
Hello, Richard. You have to do that.
Yeah.
Like, and be like a robot.
Cool.
Hello,
Richard.
That's
what I like.
How are you? Hello, paedophile postman. How are you?
That's not part of it. It's a different genre. And you work on... I used to have a show on Radio 1. You work on Radio 1. We're both DJs.
Yeah,
DJs,
as my mum says.
DJs,
What did you say?
DJs. DJs. I think I think it's only when it's a verb. So she says, are you going to DJ at it? I think she says DJ, but DJ is the verb.
DJ is quite good.
When was your show? I did listen, but remind me when it was on.
It was... I don't think you... I'm not sure you were born. It was in... generally, I think you just were born. It was in 1992, probably, was my show.
I was six.
Yeah. Were you up at 10 o'clock at night listening to Radio 1?
Yes.
Listening to the false Rod Hull on Radio 1. It might be 93, 94. It might be somewhere like that. So, yeah, you might have been...
Are you looking to the front row to confirm?
Yeah, these guys will know. They're obsessed with me.
Blank face. She's shaking her head.
She doesn't like me at all, this lady. It's just, she was saying how someone wouldn't come back from have sex with me and if I was a robot. Very, very offended.
Was there some quite hardcore heckling before we arrived?
Was, yeah. Well, just it was a hardcore shaking of the head.
Oh, right. Where, yeah. That's worse.
It's worse. It's just a... That's
like,
worse than someone
I'm not
heckling.
Even committing this to words. I'm just going to shake my head at you.
And I worked on MTV as well. I did MTV Hot in 1990.
Alice, you're looking at the future of your life right here.
Wow.
Yeah, I realize there's a date.
This is like, where you'll be.
Where there's a real age gap and he's really
I presented Top of the Pops. I'm one of the...
I've never
I'm one
done
of
that,
the,
you see.
No, I'm one of the non-paedophile so far, but...
Oh, my God.
You only play paedophiles in fiction.
Yeah, I'm doing that. That's it.
Wow, so we've done the same job always.
Yeah.
But just a short period apart. 45 years apart.
The spot, when we did, we were on This Morning with Richard and Judy. We were guests on that when we were doing our show, Fist of Fun. And the Spice Girls were on the same episode, so we were very excited. And Scary Spice came in and went, "Oh my God, you're the guys from MTV Hot." We'd literally done it for 1 week. She rang her boyfriend. We had to sign a post-it note that she then stuck to her bare midriff.
Oh my God.
Wow.
It was very exciting.
The heady heights of This Morning.
And Posh Spice was going, "Sorry, I don't know who you are. Sorry." And we go, "It's okay. We're the Spice."
We're sort of a big deal, but it's okay.
We stood in for a week for an obscure new show on MTV. It's the best day of my life. So I wish I could go back to
I was actually about to be like, what were Richard and Judy like?
I met Richard and Judy and the Spice Girls. It might have been a dream that day, right? That sounds like my Tom Baker dream. Now I think about it. What was interesting when we went on once, because then we did a show called This Morning, which is not Julian, and then they didn't like us because they thought we were slightly taking the piss, but only for a second. Talking about shoplifting and alcoholism. Only that was it. That was it.
Schofield wouldn't even raise an eyebrow at that nowadays. No.
But they were nice, but they said to us beforehand, they're going to ask you about things that kids can do in this, because we had a young one said that kids can do for the summer holidays. It was the summer holidays. So come up with three like jokes about that or three funny things about that. And then, so I said, okay, we'll do that. And then Richard went, right, you guys are so funny. You could make a joke about anything. Make a joke about, and then he mentioned one of the things. And we hadn't written jokes. We'd written things that would work in the format. So he thought he'd prepared us. You guys could just ad-lib a joke about anything. And then the thing we had wasn't really like
oh, my God.
Also, the greatest setup to doing a story is always, you guys do amazing jokes about everything. Do a joke.
And Judy obviously didn't know who we were, watched one clip.
Which was probably
one
drunk.
Clip of us. On shoplifted booze. And she...
allegedly.
Come and sue us. Allegedly. That'd probably be good for us. I can get these guys involved. They've got some money now. They can bankroll me. What was I going to say? Oh, she said she watched a clip, but she obviously hadn't seen it, and said, "It's just comedy about nothing, really, isn't it?" That was that.
God.
So we put that on our posters.
Yeah, I was gonna say, accurate.
So damning from Finnegan.
So it was a great day. Do you think it's possible that we are all robots and we don't know we're robots?
Oh.
I'm so glad you brought it up. I don't think so. Is that the right answer?
Well, I don't know, because you wouldn't know, would you? You've been programmed to think that
you're
you
so
wouldn't
right.
think so. So that's exactly what you would say if you were a robot. Because
you have no freedom of thought, Alan. Oh, so you just assume.
Because I woke up the other morning and my throat went beep, beep, beep.
Did it?
Yeah.
Did it?
Yes.
Did it?
I woke up just the right gut. I wasn't... It went right in the... Right there where your mechanics
where the
would
panel
be.
Would be.
Where it would be.
Yeah.
Where logic beep, would beep, say it would be.
Like at 4:30, I wasn't expecting to be awake. It was just like rebooting or something. I went... Beep, beep, beep.
I love that you think we're really complex robots, but it still goes a beep, beep, beep when it resets. We must keep this secret, but unfortunately, when it resets of a morning, it has to go a beep, beep, beep. Let's hope they're always asleep when it happens.
Can't we program to be asleep? Yes, we can. Okay. But what if one day it goes, well, it could be the case.
You've really made me rethink that. Thank
good.
You.
If you three had to be in a human centipede together... Who would go? Who would go where?
Do you mean for charity or something?
Yeah. Comic relief. Yeah.
Comic relief. Sport relief. Oh my God!
They could do something where you had blue poo coming through.
Yeah, there you go.
That tasted of chocolate. We would make a lot, though. Can you imagine the number? It would be like, you know, when they do like 0800 centipede or whatever. We would make a lot for charity.
Yeah,
for the kids. We'd it's comic relief for the kids.
No, that's children in need.
Children in need. No, don't do it for children in need.
All telethons are open for consideration.
Sorry, I was just thinking about it the whole time they were talking. I was like, the front, for sure. I
want to be at the
front.
You don't want to go at the front, but how would you?
Well, we're all going to want to go at the front.
I don't think with human centipedes it's a shotgun situation.
No, James, like, there's definitely one that I want.
Oh, so what?
Well, the person in the middle has it the worst.
Yeah, so Alice, you can do that.
To be fair, I do the least work on this project, so yeah, I should probably do that. You're at the end.
I think the person on the end has it pretty bad.
Pretty bad, yeah.
There's no great position, is there?
The front's all right. You get to eat food and poo as normal.
If I was going to have to have my mouth on someone out of the two of you, it'd be you.
Oh, thanks.
Happy Valentine's Day.
That's genuinely the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me. So just to clarify, if I'm in the middle, I'm not saying I will be yet.
Yeah.
Are your arms your own? Can I be doing like watercolours and stuff? Can I?
I mean, your arms are your own. Yeah. You are slightly beholden to the
location of the
decision.
Center.
Well, the decisions of the other two. Yeah. Because obviously they can. Yeah.
But I could prepare food, which would probably be less.
That's true.
Awful for me. Yeah. So if they were like, oh, we really want to have like this really rich dinner, I could be like, I've actually prepared this much healthier option, and that might be slightly better.
I think it'd be quite hard to prepare food. Yeah. There would be a certain amount of, you'd have to mumble instructions.
Yeah.
I don't know how much, I've never seen the film.
No,
I'd have no interest in watching it.
Is there a cooking show that? Oh no, you mean the human centipede? All right.
So if they're there,
I said julienne the vegetables. Oh God! Oh God!
I don't know. Or whether it, you know, even might work as a kind of megaphone.
Oh yeah! Straight through.
Yeah, straight through.
We can still do the podcast. That's great. Brilliant.
I felt like we came to a conclusion quite easily on that one.
It's almost
done. Everyone's quite happy with their location.
All right, I'll ask you some sex-based questions. I have a few.
Oh, God.
What is the worst music you've ever had on whilst making love to someone or that someone else has put on?
Oh.
Have you ever done it where...
I've never done it, no, so...
But you know when you've watched a DVD and then it's gone back to the menu screen, so it just loops on the same sort of, like, 15-second loop of music.
What DVD?
Oh, I'm trying to think what DVD. I actually can't... It's happened numerous times. I actually can't think what DVD. But it's awful because you realise after a while and then you're really distracted because it's like... like director's comment, you kind of have a glance at what the options are and you're like, I would actually quite like to look at deleted scenes. Amazing. I'd quite like to see that.
Commentary.
It's got Scorsese narrating your sex life for you.
I think anything super, it's difficult to concentrate, I think, on sex as it is without anything.
I would
anything distracting.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Yeah, well, it puts you off. And it does. Some people need distraction, don't they? Because it's too rapid for them, so they're trying to think of things. But it's
stick on the DVD.
That's not my problem.
I've sometimes heard music through the ceiling upstairs, and that's really distracting. Where you're like, God, that's dog shit what they're playing.
Focus
on the job.
The job. Alice,
I had someone like Peter Gabriel and Kate Bush song playing from next door once.
Oh,
you reminded me of that. My genuine one, which I mentioned a few times, is Enya Sail Away. I had to have sex to Enya Sail Away. It's really difficult.
It's a long fade on that, yeah.
There's just nothing. There's nothing to get a hold of. No,
where's the tempo to match?
It's the one piece of music with no percussion in it whatsoever.
Yeah, was it drifting aimlessly?
Was it sad and very sensual?
It was not good. It was not. I mean, it's rarely good with me.
Although it's quite old, so it's probably like a 7-minute radio edit. It's probably quite long.
Yeah.
That's not my problem. I've explained that to you already. My problem, if anything, is the other direction.
Okay, all right, all right.
So I don't need to be... I don't have a problem. If I had a problem, it would be me making sex last too long. That's my... What would you say your worst quality as a lover is? I think just just my sustainability is just incredible. Plus, I lose my erection quite regularly. Oh, that one's worse.
Sexual sustainability is a weird phrase. Are you an eco lover?
You're a character in my dad's books at this point.
But when you're older, you'll understand. That's something I understand. When I was 30, oh my goodness! But yeah, you got kids, and life's terrible.
Were any of them conceived to Enya?
How do you know?
They were. I hope not. If I conceived a kid to Enya, I've got a. It might be you, 28 years old. Is your mum an Australian called Sean? Used to work at Cheddar Caves.
And she's here tonight.
Oh, we might see her again. She was good. She was nice. Apart from the Enya.
Sounds like she had an awful time.
I was going to say.
She was just trying to make it more difficult for me, that's all. Have you ever improvised a condom? Some another of my sex.
Well, you're an eco-lover, so probably a banana skin or... what do you mean with like a sandwich bag?
Yeah, well, some people have, you know, someone has had sex with a crisp packet, I read, and this, I think that's what inspired
God,
this.
Oh, God, you're joking.
Or a chocolate wrapper.
It couldn't be a kettle. Foil, so couldn't be kettle chips, so could it? It'd have to be like Walkers.
I think get crisps are just a danger for whoever's in the.
You're really.
Well, in the crisp side. Yeah. I mean, I think the crisps are taken out.
Salt
but there's still some residue, isn't there?
But sharp edges, a crisp packet, that's not good for anyone.
Well, do you have to do that, you know, when you get the last crumb?
Yeah.
So sorry about her.
It's good advice if you haven't got a condom, that is certainly true.
There you go. That's safer than the crisp packet.
What else could you use apart from a crisp packet?
Cling film. Like some kind of vegetable wrap, some kind of like, I would say the outside of a sweet corn. You could probably weave something
out
of that.
Come on. The crisp packet one though, God. I'm just picturing how depressing that is when you go, if you want it to be comfortable and like you say, eat the crisps first. So you scoff loads of crisps.
Yeah.
There's the like crunchy crumbs left, so you neck those. Then do you like rinse it out in the sink? This is already, somebody's already totally put Enya on.
Lick and dab. Just dab it in the corner and get it all out.
That's part of the foreplay, is licking.
The licking band. Yeah.
Until your tongues touch. Quick, get it to the elastic band. Oh no, we've done it too. We've pulled the crisp back flat.
Like you do in a pub to share.
We were sharing.
Oh no, we've done family style sharing. Now we can't have
sex. End up eating so many crisps. isn't bad.
I would say the lock and the Ziploc bags, they're quite strong, aren't they, for a thrust? But I can't think of something that's like biodegradable. Yeah. I wouldn't say a corn on the cob. That's just fully settled on my brain. The husk of a corn
that's
on the cob.
That's quite rough as well. Banana skin?
Yeah, banana skin might work. Hollow out a cucumber. That's something.
Yeah. But are you going to whittle it once you've already started foreplay? Are you like, excuse me one second?
Prepare it. Put it in the fridge.
And is it chilled? Yeah.
That was one of the. I did a book called Talking Cock and a show called Talking Cock and asked where's the most. Where have you put your penis for fun? And inside a hollowed out cucumber was one of the. But you know, like if you've got a cucumber and you're horny, you'd stick it up your ass. You're not going to hollow it out.
Is that a cracker joke? I feel like, oh, do you remember when those yoghurts were in tubes? What was it called?
Fromage
Frais.
Froube.
If you had a very long, thin, very...
thin.
Very thin. Then that would be perfect.
I make a joke about condoms being like vaginal froobs as well, so there you go.
Oh, sorry, I've totally stolen that.
No, it's good. No,
cheese string.
Oh, cheese string, that was good.
Similar.
They'd have to be so narrow.
But I'm talking about, you know...
Some people have very narrow
If you've got
penises.
A froob-like cheese string.
Yeah, but cheese string's not as thin as a pepperami. That's very thin.
The pepperami's tiny.
Yeah. Very needle-like.
That would work for some people. Some people have pepperami-sized penises.
Yeah.
Some people have Coke cans. I know all about
pepperami.
Penises. Yes.
That long and that thin?
Yes.
Come on.
Are you insane? What porn
I've
are
heard,
you watching?
I've heard tell. They don't put them in porn. That's the in porn films. They put all the same gargantuan film from beneath thing penises that make lesser men than me feel inadequate. For me, I'm thinking...
That looks familiar.
I film mine from beneath. That's how I... You just got to film yours from beneath
That's the trick.
And have it on a screen.
Link it up.
Pretty
good to know.
Or shave your pubic hair. then that looks bigger. So no, these are just
tricks of the trade.
These are tips from my book.
These are wonderful.
What is?
And then stick them to your notebook. Apparently.
Oh. if you had to have sex with a right-wing politician, which right-wing politician would you choose?
That's a good one.
We're out of the centipede now, aren't we?
Yeah. Okay. Well, depends which one you choose. Some of them might put you in one.
Have you got one in mind? Have you got one?
Sarah Palin. She was hot.
She was quite sexy, wasn't she?
She was like an ex-beauty queen.
Yeah, and didn't
then
she...
Then current fascist.
She had those nice specs, didn't she? She had a nice pair of specs. You've shotgunned a really good one there.
You could have John Major.
Oh, yeah.
You like Edwina
Cohen? He's not right-wing anymore, not compared... He's comparatively centrist now.
I've just said I'll have sex with John Major.
You've got to go for Farage.
For no good reason.
Farage or the bloke from the...
Farage?
The bloke with the hot girlfriend from UKIP, Henry Bolton, you can have him.
Oh, God, do we have to pick...
Farage for the story, no? I fucked Farage. The headline right
is there a sexy Trump? Is there one of the Trumps that's sexy? Melania's a good looking lady,
but she isn't a politician.
No,
though.
She's
Ivana's a nice looking young woman.
But you're right, they're just aren't they?
Ivanka. Yeah. She is also the devil incarnate. Allegedly.
Jared Kushner's the nicest looking if you're into people who like Damien from the Omen. He owns a building which is 666.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
6th Street. Hell. Town.
Yeah.
Do you know I think it'd be perfect for Alice?
Yes.
Jacob Rees-Mogg.
Yeah.
He's right up your street.
Now, I'm not saying no to that. Lovely, yeah.
Thin.
Ever so thin. He's like a pepperami. I mean, definitely.
Top hat.
Oh, yeah, I think we'd have a lovely time. We just wouldn't do too much chit-chat because I think we'd have a little argument, wouldn't we? But, yeah, thank you. Thank you for
that. You're welcome.
Quite the gift. Thank you.
So who have you gone? You've gone Farage.
Farage, Mogg.
Palin. Why the three? Well,
I mean, again, you're stretching politician.
She isn't a politician anymore. She's just...
Back to soccer mom.
Yeah, a pit bull.
Good choice. What is the strangest thing you've ever found in the embers of a bonfire?
Wow.
Actually a hedgehog. It's not that strange, but it's sad.
Yeah.
A Barbie.
Was it completely dead or was it partially alive?
I think it was dead. Okay. It was quite charred. But it
was delicious.
It was crispy on the outside, gooey in the middle. We then were very good, very stringent with our hog checks.
Yes.
I'm surprised it lasted. Like, you would have just thought burn up with everything else.
You hear it, so you search for it.
Oh, no.
Was it scream or...?
Yeah, what did it sound like?
Good God, no! No, I can't remember.
You still remember the screams?
But they do tell you. They used to tell you a lot on Blue Peter to check, didn't they?
Yeah,
and they meant it, people. So we're actually not going into bonfire season now, but just be aware for when it comes round.
Oh, God, that's...
Look out. But you say the hog checks, it makes sense. Like you're checking for any kind of hog. If there's a hog in there and you miss that...
You'd see the wing mirrors. We do a hog check and a mog check because he hangs around waiting.
He will now.
I live in the countryside now and they all basically just eat anything. So we went around to a farm so my daughter could see some lambs. We saw a lamb basically being born, which I talked about the other week. But they were talking about how, you know, if a deer gets run over, they can get it taken to the abattoir and skinned and then they'll eat it.
That's
what you do in the countryside. Yeah, you've got to live by your wits.
Indeed.
My friend Phil, who when we grew up in the countryside, he lives in Hammersmith now. But he's told someone, he was around my house and told my wife and her friend about how he'd seen a rabbit run over and then gone and got the rabbit and skinned it and eaten it himself. I thought it was very impressive. The women were not as impressed by the story.
I once edited a documentary about a woman who would just follow roadkill around the country and make pot stickers out of them, like little dumplings.
She'd follow it. Surely it's very still.
Yeah. Well, just follow various roads that she knew were rife.
Oh, good ones.
Yeah. Right. And she'd just like scrape it up, take it back to a little grotty caravan. She was a little bit odd that
way. Yeah, we did that together, didn't we? Yeah. It was a squirrel she did. She like skinned this squirrel and made little dumplings.
Looked delicious, I have to say.
You could put anything in a dumpling, really, and you'd eat it, couldn't you, really?
Yeah.
They're so good. I probably would have a squirrel dumpling.
Probably eaten it before.
Anything with a dipping sauce.
Get extra nuts as well in a squirrel.
Hey!
You look so pleased.
I'm pleased about everything. I'm pleased about it. I'm just pleased to be talking to a woman. I'm not a Phil Fry. Good. What is the, well, this is a good question. What is the, I don't know if I've asked this before. What is the most humiliating thing you've ever done for chocolate? And this weekend has just been Easter weekend. I've given up chocolate, but last night my mother-in-law gave me a Lindt bunny, and I thought, well, I'll save that for when I'm eating chocolate again. Ate the whole thing in bed last night. Felt so sick.
Ears first.
Yeah, ears first. Yeah. And it's too thick. I'm feeling sick. I think it might put me off chocolate because I just... That's my
Great.
Theory.
That's good.
Well, I do that every now and again, then I just forget, and then I'm back.
It's relapse. When you take the little, you know, the elasticated necklace with the bell on it, when you take that off, you're like, I'm just going to bosh this whole thing. There's no wrapping this back up in the gold foil. I'm going ears, and then it's gone. Yeah.
Well, I keep convincing myself that I can open any pack of chocolate and not eat the whole thing, and that has never happened. Even last night, I think, I'll put that down after that later. Yeah. I'll eat the ears, and then I'll leave it, and there's... I was listening to your podcast, eating.
My sister puts a half-eaten bar of chocolate in the fridge.
Yeah, that's
who the fuck
crazy.
Does that?
Psychopaths.
Definitely not you
Madness,
and I.
No, James, absolutely. No,
I can't
way.
Buy Nutella anymore because I do just eat it with a tablespoon.
Nutella?
And it's gone, yeah.
Jars of Nutella?
Yeah, I would say easily 3 jars. I could bosh.
In a night?
I mean, I wouldn't go out and get another one, but if they were in the house, I would.
If you'd stockpiled.
Yeah. Can I move Alice's position in the human centipede? Actually, quite delicious.
Right. Well, this has passed by so quickly. I'll ask you one more stupid question, and then I'll see if I've got any more serious questions for you, and then you can go. That's how it works.
I love doing an agenda at this point in the show.
Yeah, yeah.
And then AOB, and then you can fuck off.
Unless you know you're very entertaining, in which case, or Karen, unless you're Al Murray, in which case no one's going home tonight. The people at home won't even know. What film or story would you like to see remade by the Muppets? I mean, this might be the answer for your film.
Yeah. Belinda Blake, for sure.
Oh my God.
Could you imagine? Miss Piggy is Belinda.
Oh. It's what Jim Henson would have wanted.
It really is. Fawzi Bear.
Oh, my God.
That's Jim Sterling.
Oh, my God. Oh, this my is amazing.
This you have, to have, one, found you have to have one human being in it, and I'm not sure the Muppets really might do it. I met the puppeteers behind the Furchester Hotel, which is a Sesame Street-based spin-off.
Oh, right.
And they're fucking nuts. They're great. They're nuts. The people who do the puppets would definitely be up for this.
I think so. Yeah.
I don't know, the people who own the rights to the puppets might not be so up.
Is it always the same hand up each one? Like, are you Miss Piggy forever?
Yeah, they do. They've changed over because a few of them...
Change hands.
They've changed, like, people doing them. The current Kermit, I think, is... I can do the Kermit voice better than him, and this is as good as I can do it. Hello, I'm Kermit! That's still better. That's better than the current Kermit. No offence to him. You might not get him in the film now. I've ruined it.
I really want that to happen.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. We'll sort
that might
that
be
out.
The only way it will happen.
Yeah.
Do you have to have... Because who's in the Christmas card? Bill Murray? Who's in there? Oh, that's Scrooge.
No, you're thinking of Michael
Caine was in one,
Michael
but they're
Caine.
Billy
Connolly. Michael Caine.
Yeah, so they have. Usually, they have a few human
real
beings.
People,
I only
yeah.
watched it like a year ago. I'd never seen it. Oh my God, the gasp! You poor child. Yeah, I'd never seen it, and it's very
it's
good.
So good.
It's lovely. Yeah,
it's very good.
Are there any rude puppets? Like, there's Avenue Q, which was like a rude puppet musical.
Yeah.
Was there a rude movie with puppets in as well?
You've been
no,
on the
you
same
could do.
Set.
You could do it with puppets. I think puppets might be the way forward.
I want Miss Piggy and Kermit. Yeah. I don't just want any old puppet. Like.
Are they uncoupled? Are they consciously uncoupled, Miss Piggy and Kermit?
I think it depends on the film. I think they just
okay. They
flip.
Would come
They're
back together.
Again.
I don't think it's been consummated. Although, actually, in Muppet Christmas Carol, they have the boys are frogs and the women girls are pigs. That's how it works. That way for Peppa. If a frog fucks a pig, that's how it works. So, well, look, we will. The tour looks very exciting, and the Albert Hall must be very exciting to be doing the Albert
We're
Hall.
We're very excited.
I heard your podcast about you've been to the Albert Hall to look round.
Yeah.
Yes.
And did a podcast from the Albert Hall.
Mm. We did. They let us in, so we know that we can still get in.
Cirque du Soleil were on. So they were in the middle of their run.
Yeah, they must have been annoyed you doing a podcast in the middle of it. Shut up!
We got all tangled in the wires. It was awful. But their set is it's pretty posh.
We want to nick the set. Like,
what set do you have?
It's pretty much this.
We don't have a set. We think for
you've
the
got
Royal
to get
Albert.
A set for the Royal Hall. Yeah.
We want to get like a
big.
Yeah.
What do you mean get a set? We've got to build one.
Yeah. Got to give people spectacle. You can't have 5,000 people watching you from royal boxes. Yeah. Can't just sitting on some chairs like this. I'd be in the Albert Hall if it wasn't this. I just had four chairs.
We might buy the Cirque du Soleil on cheap and then just spray it or something. It doesn't have to look different.
Or have Rocky come down on wires.
That would be nice.
That'd be cool.
No.
But yeah, we're thinking about like a band or something, aren't we? We're going to have like a live...
An orchestra.
A band.
We're thinking of doing that.
It's quite an active show. So it's not a live podcast. It is a show with singing and... Not literally singing and dancing. Or maybe we'll add singing and dancing for the Royal Albert Hall,
And you're going to film it in the Royal Albert Hall?
We'd like to. Yeah.
James's mum will do it on her phone. We'll probably
use
that
quite soon. You've got to make some decisions about what this show's going to be.
Thank you.
You can't just turn up and improvise the show just because you do that with your podcast. Very well.
So this is the first I've heard of it. Royal Albert Hall.
Are we doing it?
All right. Okay. Fine. Yeah. Sure. We'll do it.
Give it a crack.
No, we don't like to say too much because there are some like really nice surprises in that. Sure. And if you've never heard the podcast before, then it's still really good fun because this is like Jamie said, this kind of chapter that just sits on its own. Because with the books, you could really read the chapters in any order. You could go like 1, 6, 11, 2, because there's not really a narrative.
There's no plot at all.
So,
you won't have missed anything if you just come to the live show.
It's pretty raucous. It's really good fun. And I think sometimes when people bring plus ones, they sort of leave like, what the fuck was that? But that's quite a good way to leave a theatre, right? I feel like that's a good reaction.
But then the virgins are always fun to have in the audience because they don't know what to expect, but they get completely rat-arsed. They're so worried that they might be called up on stage at any moment.
But maybe like that woman at the front who just keeps shaking her head, who seems to have now left.
She's
left. Okay.
She left when you said, that's what happens. I actually saw, that's what happens when a pig fucks a frog. I noticed it was at that point. I was like, oh, that's...
Too close to home, mate, wasn't it? Too close to home.
It's nice to find the line, isn't it?
When I play art centres, sometimes people who come to every single show at the art centre are sitting in the front row having a terrible time. But do you think that'll happen at the Royal Albert Hall? There'll be people in evening dress expecting...
Because there are boxes that are kind of reserved for people who own them.
Yeah. Oh, you mean people who are like, oh, we missed the proms because we were away, but we'll come to this.
We'll turn up at this.
Yeah, that would be different, wouldn't it? Mm. Yeah, and there's like a name for the people with those...
Debentures
are the people with the season tickets. So, I think there probably are people that come to everything.
I think they literally said you can only play if we can sell all those tickets and not make any of them come to the point. I think they would have all kicked off at the Royal Albert Hall. So, it's very exciting.
No, it's super.
You should
exciting.
Come along.
Oh, well, definitely come along. It's the 21st of June.
It is.
How do I know that? God, I'm such a fan. how do I remember that? I can't remember my children's names. I didn't even look at my book or anything. Or write it down. Well, fantastic. I will come and because I'm not on tour then, and I'm going to be on holiday for 3 months. So,
lovely.
Yay. Are you going to sit at the front and shake your head?
It's going to come blue.
I'm going to throw sperm onto the stage. Monkey sperm. I'm going to come on as a pornographic postman, and it'll be fun.
What do you wear? Just a normal postman outfit in your image of it?
Yeah.
It's not like a sexy postman outfit.
Oh no, that wouldn't be sexy at all. I find though, I don't really like sex, but the idea of people dressing up—if they dress up in like plasticized clothes—then that's not the real clothes, is it? They have to look like the matron at old people's home for me to. For me to, whatever the person's fantasy would be.
Matron at an old people's home too. You've clearly seen it. Well, a postman wears those shorts anyway, so there's a bit of flesh on show, so you're fine.
Yeah, that's true.
You're all right.
So it looks like you've thought about it as well.
Gotta love that calf meat, yeah.
Calf meat? Gross.
Well, it's very exciting. Thank you so much for coming down, and I hope your podcast goes on to be even more worldwide successful. Spawning books and films. Why have I had these fuckers on? Helping them out. Helping them out with them. They'll probably fill the Royal Albert Hall now I've had these 200 people have seen them. Ladies and gentlemen, my dad, Roy Bono. You have been listening to Rich Chang's Leicester Square Theatre Podcast with me, Rich Chang's, and my Terrings, and my guess my name, and my guests, Alice Levine, Jamie Morton, and James Cooper, a.k.a. my dad wrote a porno. That's what they're also known as. Thank you to Pest for providing us with this music. Thank you to everyone at the Leicester Square Theatre. Thank you to everyone at the British Comedy Guide. Thanks, Chris Evans, not that one, and everyone at Go Faster Stripe and all the team. I'm indebted to my producer, Dave Gribb, and this is a Go Faster Stripe, Sky Bideo, and Fuzz Production.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.